Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I am here in the studio with Laron Landis. And on the phone with us, we have Chuck Smith, who is the Deputy Executive Director of Equality Texas. See, I was doing fine, wasn't I? I told you I'm not awake yet this morning.
It's early.
It is early. Chuck, are you there?
I am here, David. Good morning.
It is good to have you here. And I'm just adjusting my headphones. They are doing funny things for me. And Patty Fink just joined us in the studio, too. Chuck is the Deputy Executive Director of Equality Texas. We're going to be talking about the legislative agenda, what's going on in the legislature with some really good bills and some real terrible ones that are going through the legislature. But first, I did want to acknowledge that yesterday Dallas County became the first county in Texas to pass protections for transgender people based on gender identity and expression. And so we decided to have somebody on from Liberal Austin and Travis County that doesn't have those protections. Ha ha, Chuck.
We'll work on that. Yeah. City of Austin does, Travis County doesn't. We'll work on that.
Well, City of Dallas had also, but now Dallas County does. And it was, you know, it was kind of a dramatic vote. They had been working on this for number of weeks, and a number of transgender people came, spoke very respectfully. And one person last week, when she spoke, that turned the third vote. She just really affected him. So, anyway.
And that's what it takes. It takes people getting involved and sharing their personal stories of how laws affect their lives. Yeah. That gets to people.
Yeah. Well, an exciting moment yesterday was when they ran out of time. They allow speakers to speak for 3 minutes each until 30 minutes has been reached. And there were speakers signed up beyond that, including me and Reverend Stephen Sprinkle. So, mm-hmm. They moved to go forward, and we were allowed to speak. So they still let you speak. Oh yeah, it was chock full of speakers. So it was a very exciting day yesterday.
Great.
I have to thank three of my board members who had testified over the course of the last several weeks at Dallas County Commissioner's Court: Lizzie Lopez and Travis Gasper and David Guy Gaynor.
Oh, that's so true.
Thanks to all of them.
And I forgot they're affiliated. Yeah.
Lizzie rocks. I didn't realize she was on the board, but I was so excited to hear her speak. She did such a great job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're here to talk to us a little bit about the legislative agenda and what's going on. And I guess the biggest bill and the one that a lot of people went to Austin to lobby for are the bullying bills. And when I say bullying bills, there are a number of different bills. Tell us a little bit about them. What's going on with those bills?
Well, it's sort of like, I would say it's like we're entering the fourth quarter in a football game now. There are 35 days left in the session. So it's to the point where each day you're counting the clock because it's about to run out on you. There were over a dozen bills anti-bullying bills dealing with bullying and harassment in public schools that have been filed. The good news is that we have three that are on our legislative agenda that are still actively in play. And so the goal now is, you know, to cross the finish line with at least one of them, and get them through the process. And with 35 days left and an enormous amount of work still to be done with regard to the budget and redistricting, that's a challenge. It's a challenge that we recognize, but we want to get one of these through at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the main bill, I guess, and I'm calling it the main bill because it's the one that the most time was spent crafting, and the most time was spent to make sure, that it corresponded between the House and Senate, so there wouldn't need to be a lot of reconciling. Is Wendy Davis's bill, right? Or no?
I would say not anymore.
Oh, okay.
If we go by big bills in terms of which is the furthest in the process, which is not the only way to look at these, but the at this point in time, the bill that is the furthest in the process is going to be Senate Bill 205 by Senator John Whitmire of Houston.
What does that one do? Yeah.
His bill, which passed yesterday on a vote of 30-1, in the Senate has already been received in the House. It hasn't yet been referred to a House committee. We are hopeful that that will happen in the next day or so. What Senator Whitmer's bill does, which is actually, I should point out, is co-authored by Senator Wendy Davis. And for all intents and purposes, I think it's fair to say that this is the this will be the Senate bullying bill. Senator Davis' bill is not likely to move forward.
Okay.
I think and based on time and how the process works, it's most likely that this is the Senate anti-bullying bill that came out of the Senate Education Committee, and this is a bill that, fortunately, as of yesterday, passed the full Senate.
And what does this one actually do?
Senator Whitmer's bill puts into statute and requires each school district to adopt a policy, including any necessary procedures for that policy, that prohibit bullying, cyberbullying, harassment, and intimidation. And this policy has to be consistent with the student's code of conduct. And as it stands now, districts have both of those. The code of conduct is generally where stuff related to bullying is. His bill puts into law you have to have a policy that does this list of things that needs to be in a policy, and then that policy has to be consistent with a code of conduct. So it's putting into law this is the things; these are the things that you have to have. It includes, I mean, some of these already exist, some of them don't, but one is a prohibition against bullying, cyberbullying, harassment, and intimidation. But like a description of the type of behavior expected from each student, a description of the consequences of what happens if someone engages in bullying, including a strategy for referrals either to counseling or to law enforcement, depending on what happens. A procedure for prompt investigation, a description of the manner in which the district will respond to any act of bullying, and one that I especially liked is the identification by job title of each school official responsible for ensuring that this policy is implemented. And his bill, from talking with his staff, is in direct response to what Asher Brown's family encountered in Cy-Fair after his death last year, in terms of the parents having been there and asked for help and reported stuff, and to find that the school hadn't documented anything, and pretends that nothing ever happened.
It sets up some responsibility.
It does. It sets up accountability. It's like, these are the things that your policy has to have this, and you have to identify who's going to enforce it, and it has to be consistent in your code of conduct. And the code of conduct is then what is given to every student, and so it's posted on their website. It's in the handbook, to where it's putting in writing and saying this is what's expected of you, and this is what will happen if you engage in bullying and harassment, and this is how we're going to investigate it, and these are going to be the consequences.
It sounds pretty explicit, which is a good thing.
It is. I mean, in his own description, he was saying, we need to shine a bright light on this and take it out of the shadows and put it out there and say, this is what it is, and this is how we're going to deal with it, and if you commit it, these are the things that are going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm. There are a few other states, if I'm not mistaken, have passed some bullying bills. Is this similar to what's been successful in a few other states?
The anti-bullying laws, I mean, they really do vary from state to state to state. Mm-hmm. I think, unless I saw, there are, I guess, 37 states that have some form of statewide level legislation now addressing bullying and harassment.
Mm-hmm.
The form of them, though, certainly varies. It varies from state to state. It's also a process, too, that I think is fair to say maybe starts with a baseline and then gets improved upon. Notable examples to that are probably in the states of Massachusetts and New Jersey, who have who started with pretty good anti-bullying laws a decade ago, but still in the midst of occurrence of bullying incidents and occurrence of teen suicides, that both of those are states that have gone in and looked at, you know, what their existing law was, what was working, what wasn't, where did it need more teeth. And so in both of those states, I think it's fair to say is that the additions and the modifications to the laws over time are ones that tend to add additional accountability or teeth or enforcement type provisions.
Mm-hmm. Have any of the states studied how well their anti-bullying bills have worked and found that the rates of bullying have actually decreased and the number of complaints about bullying have decreased as a result of these laws?
I'm not aware of studies mm-hmm. where that was the outcome or the goal. Massachusetts had done a study, actually, I think that was showing disproportionate effects of bullying on queer youth.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So they just looked at it and they were really looking, where is the bullying taking place, and this really is where it's taking place. Now, the most recent problem, and it's gotten much worse since Facebook became the thing that everybody is on. You know, it's funny, I'm reading a book right now. It was written 2 years ago, and the crime takes place through MySpace. And this book is so out of date, it's 2 years old.
Wow.
It's funny, but, you know, they're talking about how, well, everybody's on MySpace. But since Facebook took over as the social networking that everyone's on, cyberbullying has become a huge problem.
Yeah.
There is one of the bills addresses cyberbullying. Does this Whitmire bill address cyberbullying as well?
Whitmire's bill does include cyberbullying in the definition of bullying.
Mm-hmm. And will these laws be able to go beyond what goes on just in school?
I think the answer to that this session is probably going to be no.
No, yeah. So the excuse, like in Sci-Fair, not with Asher's death, but in that incident that happened with J-Ron about a year before, the school's defense was, hey, this didn't happen on school property. I mean, just because the kid was on one of our school buses, they're going to still be able to come up with excuses, aren't they?
Well, there's two ways of looking at that. Yeah. I think the answer to the question is that they perhaps might be able to make excuses. I think at the same time there is also basis in these bills to deal with it. There was a point in time where language that was talking about cyberbullying specifically said, this applies to stuff that happens on campus, or it applies to stuff that originates on campus and comes in. That specificity is no longer there, but the definition of bullying includes cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. And the response or what you can do to deal with bullying includes if it interferes with the operation of a classroom. So, you know, it's not impossible. And there are schools that do it now, to where if cyberbullying, if something that initiates offsite has such an impact to where it's disrupting the classroom, then the classroom teacher and the administrators have the right to address that because it's disrupting the school.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, especially on 205 as it advances, what's been your gauge of the sense of the Senate or the sense of the House toward these bills and their movement and advancement through the process? Are people generally supportive? Are they, you know, generally against it? Or they just want to refine it and tweak it? Or what's the sentiment there?
I'd have to give a hat tip to State Representative Rob Eisler, who's the chair of the House Public Education Committee. He appeared at a Texas Tribune interview at the very beginning of the legislative session, and I asked him in the public Q&A that, you know, we tried to pass anti-bullying legislation in 2007. We tried to pass it in 2009. Since 2009, four more kids have been bullied to death. Are you going to do something this session? His answer was yes, and he has. he chairs the committee where these dozen bills came through, and I give him credit for forming a bullying and cyberbullying subcommittee that Representative Mark Strama was the chair of the subcommittee, and they worked. I mean, the other members of the Public Education Committee worked on the various bills that had been submitted. The product of that is House Bill 1942. It's fair to say that bill number was originally attached to Diane Patrick's bill, but it's now Diane Patrick, Mark Shelton, Mark Strama, Craig Eisler, Rob Guillen. It is the collaborative product of the House Public Education Committee for we are going to deal with bullying and harassment, and we are going to do something about it.
Now, in the Senate, Whitmire's bill, the one that we've mostly been talking about, you said did pass 30-1.
It did.
Okay, so who was the one?
The one was Senator Jane Nelson from Flower Mound.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now that's surprising. She used to always be against us. Then she kind of moved to our side, and she voted against. That surprises me. Why did she say she was voting against it, or don't
yeah,
you
know?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Yeah.
That surprises me. Because
why is it okay to... I would like to hear anybody's reason why they don't want kids to be protected.
Well, no one's going to phrase it that way, but they usually...
and one of the deaths of a child took place in her district.
Mm. Right.
So that's really inexcusable.
Well, you know, according to, like, Maureen Dickey from the Dallas County Commissioner's Court, you know, if we added sexual orientation to the non-discrimination policy and we add gender identity and expression, well, we've just got to draw the line somewhere. We can't have everybody. Maybe that's the rationale.
Right. Well, we could just not eat barbecue ever again.
That's right. That's right. We've got to draw the line somewhere.
We are talking to Chuck Smith. He is from Equality, Texas. Chuck, stick with us. We have plenty more time. We need to take a break. We have a bunch of announcements we have to do. Laurent is going to do his entertainment report. Then he has to rush off downtown. But we're going to continue. We have lots more to talk about. There are a bunch more bills that some we like, some we don't like. So stick with us. Okay, Chuck?
I'll be here.
Okay.
This Saturday night, April 30th, it's a very special KNON benefit event starring the Kildares. The Kildares joining KNON this Saturday night, helping celebrate 100 years of the Sons of Herman Hall. This Weird Warren of KNON's Sonic Burrito and the live show this Saturday night will be filled with infectious energy so powerful you can't help but dance to the band's modern Celtic rock sound. The Kildare's incredible stage show will be absolutely amazing this Saturday night at the Suns. You don't want to miss it. Save money and get your advance tickets now at KNON.org. Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie and Bill's Records in Dallas. The Sons of Herman Hall, located at 3414 Elm Street at Exposition in Dallas. For more information, KNON.org. The Kildares, this Saturday night, celebrating 100 years, the finest historic music venue in Dallas, the Sons of Herman Hall. This is a KNON benefit.
KNON Spring Pledge Drive starts May 1st, but you don't have to wait to make a donation to KNON. Pledge Drive will continue until our goal is met. You can help shorten the Pledge Drive and help the station reach its goal earlier by donating online right now at KNON.org. Your support has kept KNON on the air all these years, and now it's even easier to make a donation online with a credit card or make a secure donation through PayPal at KNON.org. Help support the program you love by donating to KNON, the voice of the people.
KNON thanks Buyer Imaging Copy Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copy Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copy Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copy Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
KNON and Beyond Bows and Arrows' third annual spring benefit powwow is coming Saturday, April 30th. It's a free admission powwow with raffle and spot dances for dancers in full regalia. There will be auctions, Indian food, and arts and crafts. Vendor space is available. This year's powwow will also feature a fire breather and native stories and poetry by Asani Charles. The third annual Spring Beyond Bows and Arrows Benefit Powwow takes place at Four Winds Park, located at 5380 East Highway 199 in Springtown, Texas. MCs for the powwow will be KNON's own Albert Oldcrow. Vendor setup is at noon. Gourd dance starts at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Supper break from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And the intertribal dancing takes place from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. All princesses and drums are welcome. For vendor space or more information on the powwow, call Kathy Oldcrow at 214-704-7447. Once again, 214-704-7447. Come experience a traditional old-style benefit powwow Saturday, April 30th. KNON Spring Pledge Drive is coming Sunday, May 1st through Saturday, May 14th. We are looking for volunteers to answer phones during the pledge drive. Come be a part of your community radio station. There will be a brief training session Saturday, April 30th at noon inside the KNON conference room. For more information on volunteering, call me, Christian Lee, at 214-828-9500, extension 234. Once again, 214-828-9500, extension 234. You can call me, tell me, and I'll be there.
All right, gay media watchdog GLAAD has launched a boycott against the birther poster boy, better known as the real estate mogul Donald Trump. GLAAD says that Trump's opposition to gay rights, for those who don't know, he said he opposes both civil unions and gay marriage, which he gives no reasons for either one, in his political aspiration to become the president. Now, using Trump's own famous catchphrase, the group says they would like to tell Trump, "You're fired." GLAAD also created the Trump Out, Tune Out Trump campaign, in which they asked supporters to stop patronizing Trump's establishments, stop watching his television shows. You know, he has properties in New York and Atlantic City and so forth. What do y'all think about Mr. Trump?
Don't get me started.
He needs to be fired.
Yep, exactly. You're
he
fired.
He needs not to be hired.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be it.
About him is he has announced he cannot, under his NBC contract, announce what his presidential plans are until after Celebrity Apprentice is over. That shows exactly where his priorities
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
NBC first, country second.
But hey, supposedly he's polling number one with the Republican Party.
Okay.
In an interview with the UK's Guardian, MSNBC host Rachel Maddow said that gay news anchors, quote, have a responsibility to come out, end quote. Rachel's comments came after she was asked about if she felt any frustration towards an equally well-known news presenter who is widely assumed to be gay but has never come out. Rachel says that she's sure that people in the business have considered reasons why they're doing what they're doing. And a news anchor, of course, they are never named, but it is widely speculated
and
assumed.
She said clearly, and I don't mean Anderson Cooper.
Really?
Yes.
Well, everybody assumes that she is talking about Anderson Cooper. Uh-huh. The thing is, I thought he was already out long time ago, but then he kind of went back in.
He was.
Comes right back to the discussion, Laron, that we've been having for a long time. If you don't say the words,
mm-hmm. right.
people don't think you've come out.
See, right. I thought he had.
He sort of had. Yeah.
And, you know.
Kind of like Jodie Foster sort of said them.
Kind of, sort of.
You know, I mean, it sounds like to me you've got to say the words or people don't get it.
I don't know why he won't come out. Oh, well. NBA star Kobe Bryant said that he would do more to right his wrong when he used the F word last week or a couple of weeks ago towards a referee. And this week he seems to be making an attempt to fulfill that promise as he released a PSA about respecting and celebrating people's differences, including sexual orientation. Now, the PSA, it includes other L.A. Lakers players also, and it features... They're just them talking about respecting other folks. Now, they're playing this on TV and at the LA Lakers games, which is which I think is pretty cool. You know, what better market to show that towards the sports fans? So I think that's great. And last, it was reported a few months ago that Rosie O'Donnell and her new Texas girlfriend had split up. That's what it was reported in the New York Post anyway. However, Rosie says otherwise. She recently told Howard Stern that they are still seeing and still doing. She went on to say that they it's just hard because she has six kids. Her girlfriend has six kids, and she has four, and it's insanity. That's a lot of kids.
Laron?
No. No.
So you don't want to have more?
No. Well, maybe one more, but that'll be
I think you should have six more. We are talking today to Chuck Smith. He's from Equality, Texas. And one of the bills, actually, that we're going to be talking about it in a few minutes will relate to you and to your experience where maybe going to Maryland in order to get your partner on the birth certificate won't be as necessary as it is now. But we're not sure that that bill is going to have much
luck. That would be nice.
Luck. Chuck, still there with us?
I am here.
Good. Patty, you wanted to just mention...
Oh, I just wanted to say, if our listeners aren't aware of the very, very cool tool that you have on your website now to track all of these reports and get the latest, greatest, cutting-edge information about them. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And
you're probably talking about Equality Texas Daily Bill Tracking Report.
I am.
Yes. This is the first session that we've had this. It's a fabulous tool, software tool that has been made available to us based on our participation and membership in the Texas Civic Engagement Table, which is a new statewide table based here in Austin. But this software is regularly $3,500 to people, and we get it for $150 because of that. So we otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to have it. It is a real-time – sorry?
No, go ahead.
Oh, it's a real-time package that allows us to follow and track bills. It has generally has information in advance of Texas legislature online, but it also allows us then to export this information, which we put up on our website. And so if you go to equalitytexas.org and in the legislation section, there is a tab for the Daily Bill Tracking Report, and it lists all the bills that we are supporting and opposing, and then gives their current status.
And very easy.
We update that every day.
Very easy. Good bills green, bad bills red.
Right.
Let's talk about one of the good bills.
One of the good bills that we've been chasing now for I don't know how many legislative sessions, but that's actually, let me look here, HB 2156, Representative Coleman's, relating to the repeal of the offense of homosexual conduct. And we know that you know, the Supreme Court in Lawrence v. Texas struck down 21.06 in the penal code in Texas in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, 2011, and every session I've seen it go through omnibus approaches or just clean up the penal code based on all of the changes that have happened. And now it's a standalone, and still it stays there. What's going on with that? I saw an article in Mother Jones recently about how it seems to be this huge symbol for.
It is a symbol, and it is unfortunately Texas is not the only state where this is being held out as a symbol. This is happening in Kansas and multiple other states where, you know, it's like just draw a line in the sand till they eventually finally croak over and die, but the you know, opposition to hold stuff over people's heads. HB 2156 by Coleman and the identical bill HB 604 by Representative Farrar were both filed this session. They both did have a hearing. It was a good public hearing. State Bar of Texas testified in support of the bill. Actually, there was no one that testified against the bill.
Well, there's no reason to be for this to be against this bill.
What they want to repeal
is already unconstitutional.
It's unconstitutional. Absolutely.
They can't do it.
And I would submit that it's costing the state money because we have to teach law enforcement officers in every capacity that this law is not enforced because it's still being printed in the book because they won't repeal it.
That's absolutely correct.
Yes.
Unfortunately, 2 years ago, the House Committee on Criminal Jurisprudence, the membership was majority progressive. That this the membership on this committee has swung to the far opposite end. We haven't talked about it yet. Let's put it out here now because I mean it applies to enumeration and bullying, and it applies to some of these other bills. Is that if we want to pass the bills that have the language that we want, we need to elect different people.
Right. You know, but how do you even testify for this bill other than to say it needs to go because it's not constitutional? What else would they have even been testifying?
I mean, well, there was testimony to the example of that its presence has been used erroneously. I think this was a factor at the end of 2010, or the incident in 2010 at the restaurant in El Paso, mm-hmm. where the two men were kicked out of the restaurant for kissing. The local law enforcement officials cited that they might be cited for homosexual conduct, mm-hmm. which is coming from this very statute.
Right.
So there was testimony that not only is it unconstitutional, but it's used inaccurately at mm-hmm. times.
One of my favorite bills that we're against, and this is coming from the far right wing. This is KNON. We're allowed to call them right wing extremists on our station. And lunatics who watch Fox News, is the marriage bill. And the marriage bill relating to the attorney general, because apparently our attorney general who was successful in overturning a divorce in Dallas was unsuccessful in overturning a divorce in Austin because he waited too long to interfere in their personal matters. And so there's a bill now to just give
him a little bit of extra time.
Because, if he can't do his job, let's just give him more time to not be able to do his job. Isn't that what this bill is saying?
That's exactly what this bill does, yeah. We understand you need a little help to be competent, so let's give you some more time to intervene in same-sex marriage cases.
Right. So in this case, and actually same-sex divorce cases.
Right.
Because since we're against same-sex marriage, we want to keep people who've gotten married longer to show them that just because they want to be married, they can't get divorced. Is that the thinking behind this law? I don't get this law at all. I don't get the thinking of the attorney general who wants to keep same-sex couples married but doesn't want to keep straight couples married, and therefore we're destroying their marriages.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I guess
this
bill.
Yes. The good news is that the good news is that this bill was introduced and referred to a committee, and it has sat there. It has not had a public hearing.
Oh well, it says one word on it: schism.
Yes.
It kind of says a lot right there.
Uh-huh. There was one that I didn't really know much about that I saw, and this is one we're against. It's the medical directives law bill. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
What is that one?
That is a House Bill 2483 by Representative Pena. If you look at the list of the authors on this, it's a who's who of the far right. The bill's intent is not specifically at all targeting LGBT people. It originates more from this concept of natural birth to natural death.
Mm-hmm.
It's an end of life type bill, but the gist of it is that it allows any quote qualified family member to basically say, "I object to this to a patient's do not resuscitate order," and void it.
Oh,
to where it would allow anybody to come in and basically cancel a patient directive.
Hmm. See, now my patient directive for myself personally is that they're to keep me alive at all costs and cost the state of Texas as much money as possible. So I guess I'm just going to have to disagree with you on this one.
Well, I would think this.
I mean, this was more related to. Our belief is that the advance directive of any patient should be honored and respected,
and that
the intent of this was. If someone disagreed that and literally all they have to do is say, I don't think this advance directive was prepared properly, I object, mm-hmm. and it's voided. Mm-hmm. And in terms of, how that potentially certainly could be used with regard to our community is if you had a blood relative that disagreed with the advance directives, that might be either a single person or in a couple, but somebody could come in and basically void their directive.
Oh, sure. I'm all with you on that one, it's a great way for the relatives to come in and say the partner doesn't have a right to care for.
Just out of spite, too.
Yes.
Just to make it, how dare you.
It also has opposition just in terms of from people in the medical community to where, that there already are existing laws dealing with, if medical treatment is no longer productive, or the guidelines, basically people saying that doing this would cause unnecessary, the incurrence of unnecessary medical expenses that aren't going to have any positive outcome.
Mm-hmm. The next one.
That bill had a hearing late last night and got referred to a subcommittee on end-of-life issues.
So
with any luck, it will go to that subcommittee and die itself.
Yeah. Now, this next one, which we're also against, I guess applies more to the 253 counties that don't have transgender protections, Travis County being one of them, Dallas County not being one of them anymore. The proof of ID for a marriage license.
That would apply to all 254 counties.
Yeah, I know.
Where it's come up.
Yeah. I know. But sure. More protected here.
Sure. Cross your fingers. Last week was when there was a much greater threat related to that bill last week.
Explain what the bill is, though, because I'm not really explaining it the way
all
I'm
right.
saying.
You're referring to Senate Bill 723. It's authored by State Senator Tommy Williams from the Woodlands. Currently, one of the documents that there's a long list of documents that one can submit in order to obtain a marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, one of those documents is an original or certified copy of a court order of a sex change.
And this would
sex
eliminate
change are the
that.
Words that are used in the law. It doesn't say gender reassignment surgery. And his bill would take out being able to use an affidavit of SRS.
Okay, but if you've had a birth certificate changed, then you could still use that, couldn't you?
Changing a birth certificate is the hardest document to change.
And it is
in most cases not possible in the state of Texas.
Okay.
You may be able to change driver's licenses and passports.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard, if not impossible, to change an original birth certificate in the state of Texas.
And is passport one of those documents that you can use?
You can, yes.
Okay, so somebody would still be able to use a federally issued passport.
If one has one of the alternative documents, one could still get a marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is... not everyone has any and or all of the documents, and the intent of his law is to take away one that trans people might be able to use.
Now, would somebody then who was, say, born male, who is now female, who wanted to marry a male, be able to get married?
Again, all his bill does is take away that one document.
Yeah.
It might be his intent that it does more.
Mm-hmm.
But
it won't.
What that bill would do were it to pass, and hopefully it doesn't, would remove one eligible
just
document.
Just remove a document. So, okay. We're talking to Chuck Smith. He's from Equality Texas. Equality Texas is the LGBT and everything else, really, rights organization, because they
for the,
work
for
on
the
rights
state of Texas.
For the state of Texas. They are our lobby organization and work with legislators to craft good legislation. They work to get rid of bad legislation. Chuck Smith's with us. He's going to stick with us for the last segment of the show, and we just need to take a break.
Small business owners, KNON has partnered with CBeyond, an IT services and communication provider offering local and long-distance calling, conferencing, high-speed internet, mobile, BlackBerry, broadband, laptop access, voicemail, email, web hosting, fax-to-email, data backup, cloud servers, and more. KNON thanks CBeyond for all of these support services. CBeyond donates services to KNON based on referrals. For more information, the email address is KNON at cbeyond.net. That's KNON at CBEYOND.net.
KNON 89.3 FM is broadcasting Democracy Now!, a national daily radio news program covering today's news and issues. Democracy Now! Is hosted by Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, broadcast worldwide on over 900 stations, pioneering the largest community media collaboration in the country. Democracy Now! Can be heard on KNON Mondays through Thursdays from 8 to 9 a.m. Not the same old news heard everywhere else, it's news of the people for the people. Democracy Now!, Monday through Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on KNON 89.3 FM.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
Regalia. There will be auctions, Indian food, and arts and crafts. Vendor space is available. This year's powwow will also feature a fire breather and native stories and poetry by Asani Charles. The third annual Spring Beyond Bows and Arrows Benefit Powwow takes place at Four Winds Park, located at 5380 East Highway 199 in Springtown, Texas. MCs for the powwow will be KNON's own Albert Old Crow. Vendor setup is at noon. Gourd Dance starts at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., supper break from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., and the inner tribal dancing takes place from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. All princesses and drums are welcome. For vendor space or more information on the powwow, call Kathy Old Crow at 214-704-7447. Once again, 214-704-7447. Come experience a traditional old-style benefit powwow Saturday, April 30th.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with Patty Fink. And on the phone with us is Chuck Smith from Equality Texas. Chuck, let's talk about a couple of the good bills that are going through the legislature right now. There's an ENDA bill that's going through, an employment non-discrimination. Any chance on that one?
Well, I think the honest answer is that the three bullying bills that are in play now that's where the game is. If we're coming back to the idea that we're in the fourth quarter, I do want to talk about that bill though. Yes, that was HB 665 by Representative Mike Villarreal from San Antonio, which, yes, would prohibit employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity expression. This bill, the similar bills have been filed in past sessions, and ENDA in Texas in every other previous session got referred to the State Affairs Committee, which, as you probably know, is where gay bills go to die. This session, employment non-discrimination was not referred to State Affairs. It was referred to the House Committee on Economic and Small Business Development, which is a huge change. So and the hearing that we—it's a fabulous thing. It's One is acknowledging that it is an economic issue. It's an economic issue for the state of Texas. It's an economic issue for employers who look at the state of Texas. And so the testimony in the hearing, it was probably one of the most educational hearings this session. It was sort of surprising because, some of the Democrats stepped out of the hearing and really didn't participate, and they left behind Republicans, one was a freshman, one was someone who had been there and lost and came back. But they asked fabulously intelligent questions, and you could see the lights going on. Mm-hmm. And while the makeup of the committee is not such that the bill's going to get passed out, and certainly the makeup of the House is not favorable for passing the bill, they acknowledged Representative Villarreal for carrying heavy water on a bill that needs to come up and at some point needs to pass.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like at the end of the hearing, they recognized that things like that people do transition in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that corporations have already reached the point where it's no big deal to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
That Megan Stabler, who's on the board of the Human Rights Campaign, was one of the people that testified here, and she gave some amazing testimony, and you could see these lights going on where it's like they understand that employees hire people based on their talents and their skills, not based on their sexual orientation or gender identity or expression,
it's like things like. Oh, so you're an engineer with a PhD, and you can do that as a man or a woman. Oh, I get it.
Well, exactly. And I guess, but in the concept of, because, you know, there's lots of stereotypes and fear-mongering that goes on specifically
sure.
related to the gender identity and transitioning in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And in this hearing, by the end, it was clear that, you know, you work with your employer, you select a date, and then, you know, on the day, there is a day, and it's determined and specified in advance in which you come in, and you go to HR, and you get rebadged, and we update your personnel files, and you go back and you do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it eliminated, you know, it was excellent in the sense of tearing down, you know, the fear-mongering that the world's going to end and, you know, this stuff can't happen. At the same time, you know, spoke directly to, you know, 90% of corporate America already has these policies. If the state of Texas wants to compete economically, not just within its own borders, but again, you know, Rick Perry's business mantra, you know, for the state is open for business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we want to lure corporate relocations to the state, we need to have employment practices that are comprehensive and welcoming and demonstrate that the state is open for business for all employees.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good hearing. I think it's a process of that story needs to continue to be told more and more. And as I said, again, we also need to elect people that would be more responsive to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think a lot of people don't get who are on the other side is that these protections really matter. They really matter in the workplace, and they really matter to the employees. And employees do look for them when they look for work. And
right.
if it's not
yes.
there, they don't pursue that job. And so when we say we're open for business, for Rick Perry to even think for a moment that that's not important is contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
He does not get it.
And it is true. And I think that, again, that was one of the things that also came out, is that HR directors at major corporations, it is a factor in recruitment. It's a factor in recruitment of employees, and it's also a factor in where corporations choose to locate or relocate.
Now, one of the things you said was that this bill, while it doesn't have great prospects to pass, you had a really great hearing for it. When you do have a hearing like that, do you think that also will affect some votes maybe on the bullying bill, that they'll say, you know, I just can't pass this one, we can't vote for this one or whatever. But when that bullying bill comes up, that maybe some lights did come on there too, that, oh, yeah, for somebody to get a good education, they can't be bullied in school, and if this is where you're telling me the bullying is taking place, maybe that should be outlawed. And so,
I would hope that that's true. I would hope that's a possibility. I mean, I think at the same time, Equality Texas, we did our equality poll at the end of 2010 that showed, majority support for everything other than the M word, meaning marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to believe that, our opponents have done the same polling that shows the same thing.
Right.
So, the handwriting is on the wall. It takes, again, the continued repetition of these real life stories in order to enable people who either are still opponents or on the fence to recognize that it is real, that the laws do matter, and in fact that the majority of Texans don't support discriminating against people solely because of their orientation or identity.
Unless they did their polling everywhere except for that new left-wing liberal bastion of Dallas County.
Right.
Kind of a theme. Are you sensing a theme, Chuck?
Yeah.
Hey, we're real excited.
I'm feeling a bit hammered.
We are just really excited here that this passed. A couple of other bills that are kind of interesting.
Well, I was going to bring up this one bill. Several years ago, quite a number of years ago, actually, there was a young man, and I believe it was Missouri, who was convicted and given a really long sentence for kind of making out with his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind it was that they were both, quote, underage, but they were age appropriate for each other. And that's sort of a bill that's being introduced here in terms of the Romeo and Juliet affirmative defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people in Texas don't realize how pervasive 2106 affected basic things. And this is one of them. That's that affirmative defense, basically saying they're boyfriend, girlfriend, they may be 16, but it's not a crime. It shouldn't be a crime.
Well, it's in the section of the penal code that deals with sexual assault, and there exists a defense that is available if the parties involved are of the opposite sex, and if they are not separated in age by more than 3 years.
Mm-hmm. So a 16 and a 17-year-old or 14 and 15-year-old, kiss,
well,
get caught.
Well, usually it's applying to if one of the parties is not a minor and one of the parties is a minor.
I see. Okay.
So it's more like if it were 19 and 16.
Oh, okay.
But that affirmative defense is not available to same-sex dating couples.
Oh, so that will only apply to opposite-sex couples.
It only applies to opposite-sex couples. The specific bill that she's referring to would have made that the affirmative defense currently exists, and in any case would have to be proven that it applies. But that defense is not available to same-sex couples. The defense specifically says they have to be of the opposite sex, and our proposed language just took out the words that they had to be of opposite sexes.
Hmm. So basically, a heterosexual dating couple who are young people, could
if the defense applied, then a judge could find that it wouldn't be appropriate to sentence mm-hmm. them or tag them as being a sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
affirmative defense is not available to same-sex couples, so in those instances, yes, the same-sex couples can be labeled as a sex offender and have to register as a sex offender for life.
Potentially serve time.
Yes.
Hmm. That's just outrageous to me. Yeah. Just outrageous.
It is indeed. Unfortunately, it went to the same House Committee on Criminal Jurisprudence that also heard the 2106 bill.
Sounds like a circular file bin, this committee.
We have like one more minute.
We have one more minute. I want to come back. Can
go
we
ahead.
Come back to the bullying bills?
The
most important thing right now is that there are three anti-bullying bills, and they all do different things. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we're working on all three of them. We already talked about Representative Whitmire's, and his just deals with Section 37 of the code. Representative Patrick's bill deals with multiple sections in the education code. Representative Coleman's bill deals with his bullying stuff is almost exactly the same as Diane Patrick's, but then his bill has stuff that's in the Health and Human Services code that deals with suicide prevention. So at the end of the day, we would love to advance all three of these bills because they all deal with bullying and harassment in some way and in different places. So they, I think it's important to note that they are all complementary to one another because they deal with it in different sections of Texas law.
Good. Chuck, thanks so much for being with us. For people who would like to let their representatives know how they feel, you can go to the website for Equality Texas, which is equalitytexas.org, and find who your representative is.
And when you support Equality Texas, you're supporting your own rights and
you are
fairness
indeed.
At the state of Texas.
If you can help us out with coin that helps, everybody should be expecting to get an action alert before the end of this week supporting these two House bullying bills. We need to try and get them out of calendars so we don't run out of time.
Great. Chuck, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chuck.
All righty. Have a good day.
You too. And this is where our producer, Thomas Pearson, comes in, and he disavows any knowledge of our existence. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.
For listening to the KNON Morning Line. We'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM. Thank you.